Hey guys, welcome to the Brew the Truth podcast. We're the hosts, Deloxide and Frenzy. It's actually Frenzy's birthday here today, also known as Scotty, although I know him as Frenzy, so I should have done that backwards, but it's okay. You can check out his stream on Twitch at Frenzy_play. You can find all of our previous episodes on the Drinking Wise Men YouTube channel, along with my 3 or 4 time a week now podcast, Perfectly Wasted. So tonight, I'm drinking Blue Moon Honey Wheat. And Frenzy, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a craft beer from Granville Island, which is, I'm Canadian, which you guys may not know. And it's a Cypress Honey Lager, and it's really delicious.
Perfect.
Also know the owner of that company, too. He's a nice guy.
Oh, well, maybe you have a sponsor, whereas yeah, I've got no one to send me beer. So,
well, maybe they'll bust into the U.S. market, and I'll get you sponsored.
Hey, I'm down for this.
All right.
So our first topic here today is going to be cars, electric versus gas. And now I'm kind of familiar with a little bit of electric versus gas controversy. And there's apparently a lot of myths that kind of go around that people say like are not really true. For instance, that electric car batteries are supposed to be, you know, after a while you recycle them, it's going to be worse for the environment, carbon footprint and such. It's a pretty strong argument, actually. But overall, I'm not sure how much that holds up. I'm pretty certain that it's a myth, but it is an interesting way to go about it.
There's a lot of myths about the electric car industry. And I actually, about 5 years ago, I actually sold cars for a major company that actually produced hybrid electric vehicles, and I think I can tell you it's Toyota. You know, it's the one that kind of has a monopoly. It is an interesting point that he makes. There's a lot of myths that would come up, and so I'd be, you know, I drive one myself. Well, my wife does. We have a hybrid vehicle, and it's fantastic. And the myths that come along with it were the actual whole automotive industry really scared of this electric thing that's incoming. They spent all this time ragging on electric vehicles or hybrid electric vehicles. Oh, you don't want to do that. It's so expensive to replace the battery was the first one.
Yeah.
And then the next one was, oh, the motor, if it breaks, it's so expensive, and all these myths. And so my job as a salesperson was just to dispel these myths, which is hard to do without actually having someone drive it for a year. And so all I would really say is look at all the taxi drivers that have one and ask them next time you're in that cab how many kilometers it has on it and how many repairs they've put into it. And it's usually not very much because electric parts, you know, it's hard to say it's not a reliable part because it's electric. There's less moving parts in an electric engine.
Yeah.
There's no transmission. There's not
as many explosions, for instance.
Exactly. There's no controlled chaos happening under the hood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, all the car companies these days, you'll go to them, they'll be pushing their vehicles like electric power steering and electric transmission, all these electric parts because it has less moving parts, less expensive to fix. And so it's hard, I find, for people to make this transition from gas to electric because of that.
Yeah.
Do you find that, too? Like, people are just...
You know, like actually... It does kind of throw a lot of people off. One of my friends actually mentioned the myth to me first, and it was for the Prius hybrid, I think. And so we were talking about it, and his girlfriend or something wanted one, and then he started just going straight into everything that he knows about different things. And I have another friend, actually, Drunk Joe, who was considering buying a hybrid Camry, I think. And in the end, he ended up doing the research for it, and he found that he'd have to own the car for like 15 years for the difference it cost to pay off in gas versus electricity for him. So it was a really odd thing, but the actual reason he started even looking at it is because he also has a buddy. Apparently, there are some states out here in the U.S. that if the electric company near you has special like incentives for it, then if you get an electric car, you get a deductible on your home's electricity.
Yeah.
Like a fucking ridiculous deductible. So it basically makes it essentially so like the car difference cost is just non-existent.
That's really interesting because up where I live on the west coast of Canada, and we have a hydroelectric dams, so it's just water running through turbines and an endless source of energy. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have, usually have those kind of discounts. But we did have emissions discounts from the federal government if you bought a hybrid vehicle, because it is a lot safer for the environment in the long term, going back to the battery thing, because of the carbon dioxide emissions are like thousands per square inch lower. Yeah. And, you know, that should be the first reason why you get a hybrid vehicle if you're thinking about it. Nobody ever goes there. It's always about how much money can I save.
I would totally do it if it costs the same as a regular car. But unfortunately, I can't afford to pay the difference. So my car broke down. Oh, man, that must have been 3 or 4 months ago now, and I had to buy a new car. And I went in into Nissan, which is not like I don't like them or anything like that. And I told the guy, I was honest, I said, listen, I need you to give me the cheapest car that you have that has power steering, a trunk that opens, power locks, and seats that go down in the back.
Versa.
And that's what I got. Yeah, I got a Versa. And it was the one step up Versa, because if you get the bottom of the line Versa, it does not have power locks. It's got no seats that go down in it. And but, you know, I like, again, at the time my car had broken down, I had it paid off for like 3 years at that point, and it was just a big bummer, you know. I ended up going with what I could afford, and if I could have afforded electric vehicle, I would have been more than happy to buy one. You know, I'm the whole Trump getting rid of all of the global warming shit on the White House website is fucking ridiculous to me.
That's now, and you have a point there. Nobody wants to spend more for something like that because you just don't have the money.
Yeah.
But look at solar power and how expensive that used to be and how cheap that is now. It's going to happen with the electric vehicles too. And I've actually driven electric, fully electric vehicles. It was Nissan Leafs, is what they were.
Yeah.
And I might sound like I'm an advocate for electric vehicles, but let me tell you the dark side of electric vehicles. There is nothing more terrifying driving an electric vehicle down the road on the highway when you're late for an appointment or you need to be somewhere and you're looking at that fuel gauge, but it's not. It's how much power is left, and there's no gas station you can pull over. But you can. You just got to do this massive detour, and then you got to sit there for 30 minutes. If you have paid for the special quick change adapter, you know, that's scary. And like, as soon as I stopped driving that car, because I was just transporting it down to a following city, I came home and I jumped in my 5.7 liter V8 truck and was just like, I'm going for gas, and I don't even need it. Because it was such a thing, you know, it was scary. And the charge stations, though, London, England, in downtown London, they just switched all of their street lamps to LEDs. Mm-hmm. And then they've put charge stations in each street lamp for specifically for electric vehicles.
So that's pretty sweet.
That is a massive jump in the right direction. And so if you were driving an electric vehicle and you had access to charge points everywhere, well, it would be a no-brainer to drive that. You don't need gas except for your, you know, petrol head vehicle that you have or your lawnmower. But
yeah, exactly. You know. And that is a really big problem. It's a problem out here, the charging stations out here. I mean, unless you have like a Tesla with the big ass battery in your house, there's pretty much no fucking way you're going to find a charging station anywhere within range.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen one here in Vegas ever.
You'll find them mostly in like shopping malls. They'll be right next to the handicap parking spots, at least up here.
Oh.
Trying to promote people to use electric vehicles. They're like, hey, you're using an electric vehicle. You're doing a good thing for the environment. Here's a special parking spot for you. And they also have it. It's like electric or hybrid electric reserve parking at the mall.
I don't park
there because people vandalize the cars. So I don't use this parking spot, but
you gotta take Frenzy off the license plate, man. That's the dead giveaway.
That's probably check out my ride, you know, something like that. Yeah, so
it's definitely a cool thing that I really do like. I also hear that the speed in them is pretty ridiculous once they get the battery weight down. So you know, I have looked at the Teslas and things like this, and unfortunately, those are way too fucking expensive. but
for now, though, for now, yeah, they'll get cheaper. It's raw. It's power right now. Power. There's no RPMs. There's no like RPMs or horsepower is measured by revolutions per minute, and so electric motors don't have an RPM dial.
Yeah,
it's just it's power on, power off, just like a like bumper cars when you were a kid and you were at the mall, you're at the park. You turn, you press the pedal, and it's power. And there's there's no fluctuation on it. It's power or not power.
Yeah, it's. Have you ever watched any of the videos of the Teslas when they turn on super drive or whatever the fuck it's called, and the guys like shoot back in their seats?
Yeah,
and, yeah.
But it's so unsatisfying because there's no.
It's not the same.
No noise. You're like, I don't care how fast I'm going if it's not making an awesome rumble under your foot pedal kind of feeling. I just
see as long I as I can. I always kill felt, that,
you know.
Yeah, and I always felt that. I know it's not a race, and I know everyone knows it's not a race, but...
Yes, it is.
Sometimes when I'm that first person at that stoplight and the person next to me I need to get in front of, I just like to have that extra horsepower that, you know, I could just take them. And in an electric car, you could do it, but it's just not as satisfying when your engine doesn't, like, rev up and you just blast past them. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing. So
100% agree with you, and I think that's kind of a man thing too.
Yeah,
you know, not to get all sexist about
it's,
it.
It's
but
a pissing contest.
It totally is. It's a total pissing contest.
Yeah,
when you have a car like that, you do it just because you're exactly. like, I'm just gonna piss the pedal down and make it sound cool because
yeah
because and there's an electric vehicle next to me and screw you.
that's all there is to it. Is you know, in the end, everyone's gonna go for the instant satisfaction. It's the same right now with what the costs are. We're always gonna spend less if we can afford it more easily. So that's why currently it's not really in the cards for most people.
That's correct.
Yeah. So kind of a bummer, but, you know, the environment will suffer. It's okay. So for our next topic here, for segment two, we have Diablo 3, the Necromancer expansion pack, I guess you would call it, which is... pretty interesting because the game's been out for when was the release on this? Was
it a couple years at least? Well, probably like, more than that. It's like 4 or 5 years, I think.
I feel like it's been out since like 2007 at this point, which is pretty astonishing. And I gotta say, a little disappointed that it costs money. It's gonna be $15, and or depending on your market, it might actually be less for you.
But, no, it'll be more because if it's 15 US, it's going to be like 24 Canadian because we're 75 cents on your dollar. So,
Come
for vacation to Canada. It's cheap.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, it's always been that way.
So, yeah, it's the first paid expansion that they've had come out since the release of the previous, like, full expansion. This only introduces Necromancers, but, you know, we had... what was it? Reaper of Souls was the last expansion.
Yep.
So, kind of interesting, but also it introduces the Necromancer class, which people have been asking for fucking ever.
And, yeah, they have, yeah.
You know, when Crusaders got added, we didn't pay an extra fucking $15, I'll tell you that.
No. I think it's just that sales are down. You need to get a little money generation in order to keep the game alive. It's important to note, too, that the expansion itself is free. It's the actual Necromancer class that you're paying for, and you get a sigil, and you get some stupid wings, and you get a pet, and you know, some other stuff.
A bunch of visual shit. I'm going to pay for it.
Because I'm going to totally pay for it. You know, and this is they got us. We're like, we don't want to pay, but we're going to pay.
I might not even make a Necromancer, and I'll pay for it.
I might buy it twice.
Who knows?
Just to have that giant scythe just flying like that looked awesome. You know?
See, like, the whole thing for me is that the game's been up for so long, and they haven't really charged for much. You know, they charged for the first expansion, and this will be, I guess, the I don't want to call this a true expansion, but it'll be a second expansion here. And really, they keep on adding content, and it's great. I love that they keep adding content. That's one of the best things about this game. That's why I've preached this game to my friends. You know, I've got, I'd probably say 2,000 hours in this game.
Oh, and that's it?
Yeah, that's like at least. And the thing is that it doesn't, they used to not show you hours played on characters. So the characters I've deleted in the past don't show. You know, so there's a lot of retired characters too that I just can't add time on. So with as much time as I've thrown into this game, with every single season them coming out with something new, with new different bonuses, new sets, changing the sets, you know, new pets, new visuals and things like that.
New metas too. They change stuff. They buff
all the time. You know, whirlwind barbs have been in and out so many fucking times. I can't even count it anymore.
Spin and win.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be pretty fun. I know the expansion's supposed to drop tomorrow, I'm pretty certain.
It is correct, tomorrow, yep.
I didn't get a chance to play it on the public test realm. I'm a little bit disappointed about that, but...
It'll drop tomorrow, but it won't be available until your region's maintenance is completed, which for us is North America-wide, 10 o'clock a.m. is when our maintenance is supposed to be confirmed maintenance at 10 a.m. I don't know if that's when it's completed or if that's when it started. I forgot to check that. But it's going to be an entire 12 hours earlier than EU because America.
Yeah. America.
Hey, do you remember the auction house? Why did they ever get rid of that? I made $150 on that. And I was running around telling all my friends, like, yeah, I play video games. I made $150.
So they got rid of the auction house because what ended up happening is that you'd get one player, for instance, that got whatever at the time was the best of the best. Let's just say Shard of Hate, for instance. Okay? So you get Shard of Hate and you're Whirlwind Barb, and then all of a sudden you're running a group of four through a rift or whatever, and you're taking all of those pieces of whatever that drop, and they're all being given to the barb continuously over and over and over again. And that person just keeps on throwing them in the auction house and then keeps on getting money, and they can buy the best items and they become the best player, and it becomes pay to win instead of becoming, you know, just play for fun. And when you introduce money into the equation, unfortunately you get quite a lot of cheaters. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true. I know, but it's still fun.
No, I agree. And the real money auction house in World of Warcraft, of course, is pretty ridiculous. Actually, something I didn't know until recently is that in Warcraft now you can trade your gold for playtime.
Oh yeah, they did that in Eve too. So that must be that's actually really good. Actually, and some kids can't afford
What it actually is I break it down to playtime, but it's they give you this coin that you could trade off your currency for, and you can basically trade your coin in for full-on currency in the Blizzard store. So if you want like a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a game card or whatever you want, if you want to pay for your subscription, you could do anything with it. So it's kind of like a really interesting twist, although... I would never have enough gold to do it. I haven't played since Burning Crusade, I think. So
I it's funny you say that. I played. That was the expansion I pretty much skipped, was Burning Crusade. I Wrath of the Lich King did up,
like, yeah,
big time. I just met Christina, and that's what we did together. We're totally going off topic of Diablo 3, but just a quick story. We played that together.
It's Blizzard.
Close hardcore. Enough. Like, hardcore. She was a rogue. I was a resto druid. We were both top on the server in the top raiding guild. And, like, you know, people were coming over from where I used to live because I just moved from the mainland over to the island, and they're all wondering how I'm doing. All my friends, hey, can we come visit? Nope, I'm raiding with my girlfriend at the time. And, like, people just didn't understand, you know, when you're, when you're like a full-time raider. Oh,
dude, it was...
Good times. High drama, though. Holy smokes.
I'll tell you what, man. The first time when they introduced High Warlord and shit like that, my buddy, we were on a kind of a medium server, I guess, and they kind of had this group. It was like one group that you got into if you wanted to be High Warlord. And they essentially rotated through. And it was supposed to be either his week or some other dude's week. They like were up in the air about who they were giving it to that week, basically. And he was like, no, fuck that, I earned it. So he called me and he was like, hey, man, I've been playing for like 30 plus hours. I just need someone to play for me. Like, you don't have to play well, even. Just come in, and the rest of the team will do all of the work. Like, it won't even matter. And yeah. So I was like, okay, perfect. So I went over and I played for like 3 or 4 hours, and then he woke up again and started playing.
That's hilarious.
It was fucking ridiculous. But
that's like the High Warlord, like from the original vanilla, right? Where there's only one High Warlord on each faction. Yep. Is that what you're talking about? Yep. Yeah. You knew the guy?
Yeah.
That's like one in like 10,000 or something.
It was a pretty ridiculous number. Our server was a little bit lower population, so I think it was a little easier. But still, it's a pretty it's a pretty astonishing thing. And yeah, he's one of my best friends. So yeah.
It was so cool though, because they had their own special armor that only they could purchase.
Exactly.
And so you'd see them and they had that coolest like PvP armor, and you're like, oh my god. I'm in a battle.
You also had to choose though too. You had to choose what things you wanted, because there were different like weapons and shit that you could have chosen. So if you didn't have enough reputation or whatever the fuck the things cost, you couldn't get everything. But yeah, he got really cool shit, and it was a lot of fun. And I mean, that just goes to prove, basically, even though a lot of people dislike Blizzard for certain things, they continuously are adding more and more into their games to make them more exciting for everyone else. And this kind of makes the case here. I don't really have a problem paying $15 for this expansion because of that, you know, because of how much they've put into it.
I'd pay $15 just for the cinematics they put out for that game.
Yeah. They do a really amazing job, and you know, it actually, like, if anyone has ever like delved into the lore on this game, some of it is just so completely fucked up that you go watch YouTube videos of the lore and learn new things. For you could probably go on a 24-hour binge and not hear the same thing twice. There's so much like random weird ass lore that, like, it just, you miss it because everyone skips it, you know?
It's amazing you don't see more people dressed up as the Diablo characters at Comic Cons and stuff like that, because it is such a very story rich
Demon universe. Hunter, but that's just because demon hunters are hot, you know?
Yeah, or barbarian.
Barbarian, because it's a barbarian. Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah, definitely buying it. Should be cool to look at. And we'll go on to segment 3 now. All right. So segment 3.
Beer.
Which, by the way, I've changed off now. I'm on just regular Blue Moon.
Oh, can I see the label? Boop. Cool. Sorry.
Do you guys have Blue Moon out there?
No, we have one called Blue Buck, though. It's a pale ale.
Oh, yeah. Blue Moon's pretty popular out here. We got a lot of liquor stores here. And I mean, it's Vegas, so... Probably the two biggest liquor stores out here are about the size of like the biggest one's about the size of like a Super Walmart, or I don't know if you have those out there, like Walmart Supercenters.
Yeah, well, so, they're all Supercenters to us up here. I don't know what a Walmart Supercenter is. Is it bigger than the other Walmarts?
Walmart Supercenter is the one that has the auto in it. Like, you can go get battery and tires changed. Then also it has the outside, like, plants and shit, and basically everything. They sell food, clothes.
It's a garden store, right?
Yeah, they have like everything all combined.
Most are like that now. Of Walmart is how many RVs are parked in the parking lot in the back corner.
Yeah.
And if it's more than 10, it's a superstore Walmart.
Well, out here, they actually also have neighborhood Walmarts, which are just grocery store Walmarts, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. But yeah, so...
You can buy beer at them. You can't buy beer at grocery stores up here.
Oh, you could. Oh my God, you could buy beer at every place you could stop at here. Yeah. Gas stations all sell beer. Every single grocery store has like at least, I want to say, like 1/7 of the store is dedicated to alcohol.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite things about traveling the U.S. is just walking into a 7-Eleven or whatever and just buying like a case of beer.
Yeah,
like it's so satisfying. Like, I'm an adult. I can buy beer.
It depends.
To go to a special store.
Yeah, well, I mean, although, like I said, the liquor stores that we have out here, we have one that's Total Wine, which they have a lot of places, and the Total Wines that we have are the size of Walmart Supercenters, and they're just filled with alcohol. So it's pretty fucking amazing.
Is that the face you make when you're in there?
Yeah, it's well, you go in and you look at like some of the whiskeys and stuff, and it's that. I mean, like, that I couldn't afford without, like, saving for, like, a year. You know, really? Like, they got some really good shit in there. So,
That's interesting because every single store, it's all like there's government liquor stores up here, and then there's private cold beer and wine stores, we call it, because they were used to only be able to sell beer and wine, but that's been lifted. But we still call it cold beer and wine because they actually chill the beer, and the government stores, they don't. Anyway, I digress. But the goal, you go to the government liquor stores, and they've got, they're massive. And you want wine, they've got every single country. Here's their section of wine and all their best wines. And then you go, you got like whiskeys, and you're like, whiskeys from Scotland, whiskeys from here. Like you got bourbon, you got, and it's stuff exactly the same. Like it's got like single malt whiskeys that you'll never, ever want to have to pay for. Like $400 or $500 bottles. But we're supposed to be talking about beer. I'm sorry. We're going out of whiskey.
No, that's okay. And like, so one thing that I'm kind of upset about actually, which you might have heard a little about, is that I actually had been introduced a few years ago to dark English ales, and I had never had one before because they're very few and far between. And honestly, the reason that I tried it is because Newcastle came out with their dark English ale, the Cabbie. So I was drinking this beer, and I was like, wow, this is delicious. Like, if they're all like this, then why am I not drinking this all the fucking time? So Newcastle's kind of like my go-to. They sell it at virtually every store that I could stop at within the next like 100 miles.
It's so, well marketed stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can find it practically everywhere. And so if there's nothing else, I'll almost always get a Newcastle, and I really like ambers and things like this, but they came out with the Cabbie, and then they produced it for 1 year and then they stopped. It was one season.
Oh, because it was just too weird and people didn't buy it.
It was seasonal, and I don't know what exactly they did with it, but what ended up happening is they started coming out with these co-brewery type beers. So now they have, like, they came out with the Scotch Ale, and they came out with a couple of others that are from, like, different breweries that they teamed up with. And yes, none of them are anywhere near as good as what I thought the Cabbie was. So it's really disappointing to me.
Beer is a massive, massive, massive industry now, and you know, I'm a little bit older than you are, and I remember, you know, beer was used to be just beer was beer, and it turned into this, like, one of the first bartending jobs I ever had was in a brew pub, and it was just small batch, like sold it. There was no off sales for it. It was just for this bar, and it was a 2,800 liter tank. Fermentation tank right behind the bar.
Yeah.
And I just go and plug right into that tank. I had to change it once a week, pouring it on taps. And like it was 30 cents a glass is what it cost to pour, 30 cents a pint is what it cost the company. Like it was, and so then craft breweries exploded, right? It was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It's gone so mainstream now. Like it's everywhere's got brew pubs everywhere now, and their flavors that they're trying to do, and this is just my opinion, but they're a little out of control. Like there's this beer hipster movement happening right now where it's like how much disgusting flavors can I put into one beer, like hops. I hate hoppy beers. I don't mind them, but
you put
too much of them in there, it's just like, what am I drinking? And I feel like we need to take the reins and just pull back and say, just calm down and stop for a second. Let's get back to the basics, because you're not, when it gets to a point, you're not really actually brewing beer anymore.
Yeah.
You're brewing barley sticks, or, you know, it's disgusting.
Just whatever weird shit you want to throw in there, man. And
chocolate and strawberry and just, you know, all these weird flavor infusions.
I agree. Personally, I'm not into hops. Like, if it's, let me say this, if it's the only beer that's around, I'll drink IPAs.
And somebody else is buying it for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If anyone else is buying a drink for me, I will drink whatever they give to me. I don't even care. I've had guys, girls, whoever buy me drinks, totally down. It's okay.
You ever had a bar mat special before? You probably don't want that.
No, yeah. No. No, thanks. So there's quite a lot of beers out there now. And actually, I've been kind of looking into trying to brew at home because I've been a little interested in it. But a lot of brewing kits are expensive as fuck. It makes it really hard. I was looking at one, the Grainfather, which is supposed to make like it's like an 8-gallon system, all electric, and I think it makes like 5 gallons of beer. And then they have the Pico Brewer, which actually has come out recently with like a more economic version, which is nice because the original Pico Brewer was like $800-ish. And every pack that you got, it's like the Pico Brewer is like the K-cup of fucking making beer, basically. Yeah. So, you know, like everyone has these fucking, you know, stupid K-cup coffee machines. That's what the Pico Brewer is.
Yeah, screw that. It was a nice back shadow there. It was all electric, you say, really?
Yeah. all electric. So it's a really big system. It's about the size of like a water heater. So unfortunately,
explain to me, if you will, how that works a little bit. It's like a K-cup and you stick exactly the same. You stick it in and then you got a beer.
Yeah,
in
it's not
seconds.
The same. It's not the same size. So what happens is you get this this kind of like big tub that you slide in, and then you program in what you're doing with it, whichever beer it is. And basically what it is like whatever craft beers are in the store, which could be any craft beer that you've ever had. If the company has decided to give them their recipe, they give the recipe and they sell it. And then you get the pouch, basically, which is this K-cup thing. You put it in, press go after you say what it is, and then it starts doing the process. And what ends up happening is after you have, I guess, like the 2 week or so fermenting period, then you go through and you can put it inside of one of the mini kegs that they give you, and hook it up to a keganator or anything that takes keganators, basically.
And then when your friends come over, like, you don't look like a cheap asshole.
Yeah. You get like a quarter or half kegs. And, you know, it's kind of cool, but the problem is that the price per beer is not – it's about the same as what you get if you get beer bottles. Now, the only difference, the big difference is that you get these craft beers, whatever it might be. So like for me, if I wanted a craft beer that was from like New York, which is across the country, then I wouldn't be able to get it unless I had a friend out there or unless a local shop got to bring it over for some reason.
Right.
But if they're part of the Pico Brew thing – then I can just order it through Pico Brew and then pop the fucking K-cup thing in, and then boom. After like 3 weeks, I got myself beer.
You're saying K-cup, and I keep picturing some cute little Korean girl popping something into a, you know, like K-pop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just...
the K-cup.
It's the same. It's just the same idea, this disposable thing that you're just done with.
I would love to do a taste test, though. Of like go and actually grab a bottled one of the same stuff and then brew one for 2 weeks or whatever it takes for you to ferment it, and then put it side by side, and then, you know, tell me if it's the same, if it's, because those K-cup coffees, I hate that stuff. It's disgusting. It's instant coffee.
I mean, I don't drink coffee at all, but I imagine it tastes somewhat similar only because it's the same ingredients, and they've got the same ingredients to the same ratio, essentially. So it's probably going to taste pretty similar. The only difference is going to be that obviously you could put it into a keg and let it sit for like a week or 2 weeks, however long you want the – I think it's a second fermentation is what they call it. I'm not 100%. But, you know, you can do that, or you can fucking just drink it straight up right after, which some people do. And that's fine. Like, I understand. You got fucking brand new fresh beer in front of you. I'm good with this.
Are you not going to drink it? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is true. There is a second – second fermentation process sometimes with some beers, where and we used to refer to it in the biz, but I wasn't the brewmaster. We had a guy that went to school for like 4+ years microbiology and stuff. So he's this guy making the stuff in the background, and he donned me with his knowledge. Anyway, he would call it green beer. So he'd be like, okay, I'd say, hey man, you know, we had a cream ale that we were serving, and it was the most popular. And we were out, and so I'd have to crack open another 2,800-liter tank. And he'd say, okay, go ahead and do it, but it's green. And I'd be like, well, what's that mean? He's like, well, it's not going to taste right. It's going to taste fine, but it's not going to taste as good as the other stuff because I just put it in there. And so when you leave it there, it is sort of a secondary fermentation process where it's almost like aging a steak a little bit. And it's true. You pull it out, and people are like buying it going, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. And something wrong with you. Give me your money.
Yep. You asked for it, you got it. That's all there is to it. And I mean, I've looked into it. It's a little bit out of my price range. If it were cheaper and you made more beer and you could make whatever you wanted and there were so many recipes available, I'd go for it. But in the meantime, bottle beer does me pretty well. We get a decent selection out here. Not everything that I like, but, you know, it's, we got a good market. You know, Vegas basically runs on alcohol, so we're pretty okay on that.
Yeah, the USA is doing very, very well with the brew, the beer. It used to be really terrible.
Yeah.
But now it's right up on par with the rest of the world, and it's very impressive to see. So good job, USA. Nice one.
Yeah, one thing we got myself. Right.
I come down there now because I can drink beers. I'm like, ooh, look at this beer, look at this beer. I'm like a kid at the candy store, right?
Yeah, they got they actually have a bar out here, well, it's a chain that's called Yard House, and they have some ridiculous amount of beers on tap. I think it's like 150 or 200, depending on the place.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We had a place in the 80s and 90s like that, and it went out of business. But it had
this is a chain, and they've got them practically everywhere. And I'll more than likely this coming weekend be eating and drinking at one, because they have them in L.A. They also have them in Vegas. And it's pretty fucking phenomenal when you have a choice of, like, you know, 100 plus beers. So
the name of it. It's called Fog and Suds. It was a chain too. It was massive. It's nationwide. Fog and Suds. What was that one called? Yard House.
Yeah, because cool. you could actually get a yard of beer, which is like their big thing. So
you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the same company, and they just moved into the U.S. and changed their name because they had that too. They have yards of beer.
Because in the U.S. also we have Carl's Jr. on the West Coast, and then on the East Coast it's called Hardee's, I think, which is like a different thing. But I wouldn't doubt it. So
that's it. I didn't know that about Carl's Jr. because that's a chain that's not up here, but we have Hardee's.
Yeah, Hardee's is the same company.
Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah. Wow. So, the more you know. Thanks, Kurt.
That's the truth, man. So we're pretty much up on time. We probably could have talked about beer for another 10 or 20 minutes. Sorry, everyone. But thanks again for joining us. If you want to check out the other episodes, again, Drinking Wise Men, check out Frenzy on his stream. I'm not sure. Do you have a stream schedule up on your Twitch?
Whenever it tickles my fancy.
So it's random, spontaneous Frenzy whenever you want him. Check him out at Frenzy_play on Twitch. And thanks again for joining us, guys. Join us next time. And please let us know what you liked or didn't like in the episode down in the comments. Cheers, and see you next time.
See you later.